section, I suppose. Claire Collins sat in a Damascene courtyard, on a stone couch with her fingers trailing in a jasmine-strewn fountain, almost asleep in that air as white dense as an orchard. Corbin walked a step or two between her and George at a scrambling pace, so that he fell onto them, not the earth. She nearly thought explicitly of her younger brother and sisters as they learnt to walk, stumbling to her years before she was nine, remote, jealous, possessive enough to kill them. But it did no good to Corbin or anyone else she loved if she was not incarnate. She thought the multitudinous seas incarnadine from Macbeth, but the poet George was quoting was Kobani, that great national writer of Syria, who seemed always in grief for his wife, an Iraqi killed in an explosion in Beirut, and for all Arab loss. George said he called Damascus in his will the womb that taught him poetry, taught him creativity, and granted to him the alphabet of jasmine. It is an easy place to think of wombs, said Claire. The jasmine smell is somehow menstrual, but none the worse for that. No, probably, said George, that makes it rather better, reassuring and natural. It has an airless heaviness otherwise. Corbin on his lap stood and walked in one place to practice, his grip tight on George's neck. Their friend at the courtyard gate, Kirill, a Russian policeman and some interesting sort of almost secret agent, came in carrying chocolates, rich ones from Moscow, dark with liqueurs and citrus. Knowing he was assessing strategy in Damascus, Claire had asked him to find out about the lost Druze child Emily Nahida. He seemed still slight, quiet, diffident. He said, it looks as if the White Helmet film director couldn't shelter with the US forces, as he'd done something bad to American nurses in Baghdad a few years ago and also filmed it. That always a mistake. And someone's brother was a general. So he took the child to Al Safa Caves again and is staying with her. He has her separate from the other hostages for a trading purpose. What on earth does he want? Asked Claire. But George was more informed on the male creative ego, asked, where did this man learn his craft? The Australian Film and Television School, perhaps? Kirill nodded, impressed by George's genius. He says he is tired of directing propaganda stuff and still wants a real job, like he was taught. Claire said, I knew some of those people decades ago when I lived with Riley, a television journalist George especially detested, but with that odd, condescending element of charity men have, Claire thought, when defeated rivals survive. She said, I'll phone around from here, but someone should go to Al Safa. Kirill offered, George can come with me if he likes on the bus. The Syrian army are talking with villagers about freeing the hostages soon, and I am to observe. George agreed, and that to listen on buses was an agreeable, efficient espionage. So he gave Claire Corbin, and on George's mouth, her mouth, brushed as mournful, dry, indelible as jasmine.